Hi, my name is Jordan, and on the 30th of March 2017, I flew out to Sarteano, Italy, to document the Complete Freedom of Truth for Burst. The Complete Freedom of Truth is a European youth project aiming to develop conversations around the issues of democracy and European citizenship, and promotes inclusion and accessibility of the arts to people of all backgrounds regardless of disabilities, gender, race, or class. Whilst running a workshop in Sarteano, I met Amy Weisenfeld, a master's student at Manchester University, studying peace and conflict studies. On April 6, 2017, Amy woke up in Rondonnet, the city of peace. What follows is her experience learning whether living and studying with the enemy, people from the other side of your conflict area, could be the key to building peace. This is Cittadella della Pace on Burst.
Of the 160 students that have passed through Rondinet, there are so many histories of students getting out of Rondinet, hugging each other, even though they were enemies before. The last one that I also lived by myself in Rondinet is between a girl from Nagorno-Karabakh and from a guy from Armenia who last year had another clash in the border of their country, and both of them had their brothers that were soldiers in the border. And they were in Rondinet like enemies, looking at each other on their eyes and asking each other if their brother was alive.
If we get to know our enemy, can we hope to build peace? 2017, in Tuscany, Italy. This is Rondinet, Cittadella della Pace, the city of peace, where a group of young people from conflicting nations live and study together. I'm Amy Weisenfeld. You're listening to Cittadella della Pace, where we're exploring conflict and whether there's an alternative to military solutions.
It's not real, it's peace, it's amazing. Like, we are living in this village where everything is okay, but it's not.
Here's Issa. He was born in Palestine and is a student at Rondinet.
It's the place of conflict. It's where we treat conflict, where we try to understand it, confront it in the right way, in the best possible way. Like, in conflict, there is no white and black. There is no angels and demons. This is what I believe. There is one truth, but there's two, like, many realities, and each one of us has his own reality based off what we perceive. But I believe truth is one, and I believe no one knows it.
I was intrigued by the project's efforts to tackle peacebuilding using unique methods, how they seek to move away from the common understanding that it is only ever the state and governments that can make decisions which influence conflict and peace. I was interested in their recognition that there is a human element of interaction that is needed to build peace, and in their passion to tackle what is sometimes the root issue of conflict, that often, just because of where we live or the ideology we associate ourselves with, we see other people as the enemy. I wanted to experience just a small snapshot of what it is like to live and study there for 2 years, and to understand how the students put into practice this countercultural way of living, shown through even the simplest act of sharing a meal.
Okay, I understand. So this one is the gnocchi with tomato, no?
Yes.
Carrots, fish, vegetable, and potatoes, lime, endrid, and enough. And after, coffee and fruit.
Lorena Dooley, head of education and training, tells me how the experience of Rondinet changes the notion of the enemy.
It's a very unique experience for the students itself, because we try to put them here together to live together for 2 years, and they make them discover the other person that they have in front of them, uncovered from the propaganda that they are used to see the enemy on the eyes of the conflict that they come from.
I come from a place where no one believes in themselves or have goals in life. There's a lot of depression. Back home, I see a huge level of corruption, whether it's in government, political parties, and all of this, where it comes to conflict. I prefer not to work with these people. I think it needs, the whole political system back home needs reset, reboot.
And before, you spoke a lot about the deconstruction of the notion of the enemy. Mm-hmm. And how do you see that working in Rondinet?
Yes. Initially, we give to the students some notions, some basic notions of identity, national identity, and getting to know the other. We consider them very mature, but in the same time, very wearing a very heavy, let's say, dress of propaganda from their country and very conditioned from that propaganda once they come here.
It makes you grow up to see another point of view. Yeah. I think it's a really enriching experience and really important.
Lina is another student at Rondonet who spoke to me during my stay there.
Rondonet is a place where people come from countries where there are conflict or post-conflict and where they don't have the possibility to meet and chat and in the places where they come from. And so they have the opportunity to do that here. And first we come here, we don't know Italian. So the first couple of months we learn Italian and for 3 months we learn Italian. And then we start applying for masters. And then, yeah, we start with the also program of Rondonet that after we get to know the Italian, because mostly we work with the Italian schools. Also our lessons, courses are all in Italian, so.
And so how do you think as a program that aims to create peace and aims to equip young people to know how to live in a more peaceful existence, where do you think the power of Rondonet lies?
It makes you think more about what is peace for you. Peace also it can be like living in your peace, you know. It's different from person to another, you know. It makes you see that at the end, like, what we have in common is more than how we are different.
The combination of history, a sense of place, and the belonging it attaches to its tranquil surroundings make it difficult to imagine an exact replica of it existing anywhere else. Its peace and serenity, interrupted only by the roar of a distant train, creates the space for the students to think deeply about what peace means to them. This, in turn, has led them to develop an incredibly calculated way of understanding the big issues in the world.
So easy around the world just to blame the conflict and the occupation. It's not working, it's all fault of capitalism, these greedy multinationals, and there's no good system. And bad system is wrong. It depends how we use it, how we implement it. It's like Facebook to me. So yeah, Facebook can be amazing and can be destructive, can be addictive. It depends how much you use it. The same thing I see capitalism. A lot of the conflicts we face today, all of them actually, when we study them, there's this economical interest that's like the driving force behind it. And there are other factors that like in the face. It's like this cube that we play with, and it has six different colors. If you live here, you see the word red. If you live here, you see the word yellow. If you live in the corner, you see both colors. If you live in the upper corner, you see three colors. You see, it depends where you word or what you see. It forms your reality. But no one can see all of the colors everywhere. So for me, I'm not sure. We need the new structure, whether it's social, economical, or political, a new structure, a new form to organize a state, a new form to live together as humans, or it's okay the forms we have, but we need to adjust it and we need to improve it and we need to correct it.
Before leaving, I asked Lucine, another student, what her favorite part of the experience was.
Living with people was a great experience for me to understand things much better, like how it works. How actually the conflict works, because the Rondonet experience is very intense. It's like it's life, but much more intense life. So the things, you see it more obviously, and how things work, you just see it, like it's there. Yeah, I think this is the most I take from Rondonet, and like the experience of living with other people, working with them, collaborating with them, just talking with them, discussing different issues, or discussing the conflict of Nagorno-Karabakh with particularly with girls coming from Azerbaijan, but also with others, and trying to make comparison with other conflicts and also trying to understand other conflicts. So all of this, like just the experience itself, is what I take with me.
The experience in Rondonet means life moves at a different pace.
And it raises the question of whether this idyllic hub for peace building can create a blueprint for solving conflicts, or whether it acts simply as an incubator to build up young leaders and send them out to influence their own spheres, supported by their alumni association, Rondine d'Oro.
We have another kind of association, something. So in order to continue the mission of Rondine, to continue, like not to end it when you end the program, you know. And the thing is, these people, like when we finish what we do, it's called the Rondine d'Oro. It's like golden rondines. When they finish, they become gold. And, And so so what they do is that, for example, if you have like some activities, like me as Rondine, I can apply to this association or like to work with them to continue. And if I have any activities that I can make back home, or that I can, I don't know, make here to bring people to carry out this mission, I can always do that with their help. Like with, if I don't have the like the, I'd say, reinforcement.
So is that your plan, to go back to Palestine and run projects there, maybe?
I hope so, because I think that in Palestine we need it. Like, we need these kind of activities and projects. And yeah, I would hope so. Yeah.
Like, I studied lobbying, and I believe in institutional work, that it brings results. I want to start from grassroots, working with young people. Then with more gaining experience with international organization, I might in the future get to the decision-making positions.
Do you think as a method Rondine works? Should it be replicated?
If you open your heart to it, it can change your life, or you can come, stay close. It's gonna change you, even if you're close totally, it's gonna change you, but like minimum change. If you really open your heart to it and you really try to live by it, and not to be so strict to where you, the things you are used to, I think it does work to a certain extent.
I came away from Rondine with questions, and Lucine's points resonated with me. Are there similarities in how we understand individual conflicts? Is what's happening there in a sleepy town of Tuscany, filled with bright and revolutionary minds committed to building peace, something which is transferable or even achievable elsewhere in the world? You're listening to Cittadella della Pace, where we're about to find out whether Rondine's movement away from military solutions to conflict signal a more people-centered approach to building peace, and if it is significant of a wider movement in understanding how we can hope to build peace in the rest of the world. To help answer my questions, I visited Roger McGinty, Professor of Peace and Conflict Studies at the University of Manchester, to find out if Rondine's alternative method to peacebuilding is achievable elsewhere, or perhaps it is a little too alternative.
I grew up in Northern Ireland, which was a very divided society, in which Catholics and Protestants are very divided. They're divided in terms of where they live. They tend to live in separate areas. They go to different schools, they follow different sports, they socialise in different places. It was only when I reached university, aged 18, that I met kids from the other side. That had been a great mystery to me. And my undergraduate years were fantastic, because I realised that kids from the other side didn't have two horns and weren't necessarily violent. In fact, they were just like me. They wanted to study and play. So I think that the socialisation of different groups, the everyday socialization of different groups, can be revolutionary. And any opportunity that we can have to bring people together, often on social or cultural premises, can be revolutionary, can change the basis of a conflict society, and can challenge the orthodox narrative that these groups are fundamentally incompatible.
If coming into contact with people from the other side and sharing stories of your history with those with whom you may have been mistrustful of before aids peace building, it seemed important to get a personal reflection of the significance of this people-centric approach to conflict resolution.
And my name is Maria Karapetian. I work for the Imagine Center for Conflict Transformation. My position is the development director of the organization.
I spoke to Maria, whose thoughts echoed Professor McGinty's experience. Here she is, talking about the conflict in Nagorno-Karabakh.
Calling it an ethno-conflict is basically perpetuating this idea that Armenians and Azerbaijanis are, by essence, by definition, enemies, if you call a conflict an ethnic conflict. Then let's say how the governments frame this conflict. So basically, from the point of view of the Azerbaijani government, the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict is the occupation of 20% of its territory by Armenia, by the Republic of Armenia. It's an intervention of a neighbor into its internal matters. And from the point of view of the Republic of Armenia, the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict is an issue of a minority wanting to become independent, and it is an issue of the recognition of a third country that should be Nagorno-Karabakh according to the Armenian government. For me, peace would be when our societies can live together and embrace each other's not only cultural differences at large, but also individual differences. So, for example, it's very important for our societies to learn to deal with diversity internally as well, to be inclusive of various identities, to break away with a very dichotomic vision of identity as us versus them, or to stop generalizing of what it means to be an Armenian or an Azerbaijani.
Citizens from all sides of a conflict will understand the situation in their own personal way, developing thoughts and opinions from the often contrasting messages communicated to them through different sources. Their own state's understanding of a conflict will be one that always puts the citizens' interests first. But this macro approach to peacebuilding can disregard the more local level, people-centric understanding.
The traditional approach to making peace often has been state-led. And if you look at history, certainly 20th century history, it is one in which the state is the principal unit of political organisation and military organisation. States very often win wars and win peace. But in many ways, the state is not a natural political organisation. It is not the natural way that people organise themselves and think about themselves. Instead, people often see conflict and peace and security and development in terms of their family, community, and immediate local understanding of the world, their local vicinity. So very often what we see is that international peace building is directed by states and happens at the national level. But of course, people experience peace and conflict at the local level. So there's a gulf both in understanding, but also in terms of practice in relation to how we do peace. And also there is a danger that we write people out of making peace, keeping peace, and building peace. So the notion of bringing people together, often in very simple contexts of sharing a meal or sharing a walk or sharing a simple task, that can be revolutionary in deeply divided societies in which the norm is of growing up separate.
We've spoken a lot about people-centric peacebuilding and how it sits within the alternative methodology for conflict resolution, which makes me sceptical. If it works, why isn't it more widely adopted? Is it even possible elsewhere? I went to meet alumni of Rondinet to find out what they work on after they graduate. I'm Amy Weisenfeld. You're listening to Cittadella della Pace. Thank you.
come from societies in conflict thinking that our cases are unique, and the uniqueness of the case is what renders our conflicts intractable. But then as you come across with other individuals that originate from conflict geographies around the world, you see that, yes, there are specificities in every conflict context. But again, just like as humans are humans everywhere, the conflict dynamics has large similarities across these geographies.
Maria, who you've just heard, was a student at Rondonet in 2014. She invited Aga from Azerbaijan to co-facilitate an Imagine Center project with her.
My full name is Aga Rahim Poladov, and now I do some freelance marketing for three different companies in Azerbaijan. Even we finished Rondonet 3 years ago, but still, for example, the recent clashes that happened, I saw how I differently analyzed them. I think Rondonet has changed my way of thinking, and the work that we were doing with Maria changed my perception of it. Changed the way how I react on it, either publicly, either personally. And publicly is the consequence of how I react on it personally.
My views about the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict were already in transformation before I arrived to Rondonet. It probably goes back to my first dialogue project in 2011, when my transformation started, and I came to Rondonet in 2013. So I already had 2 years of a process going on in me. But I took it further here, I think. I think I still came here with subtle elements of nationalism in me, subtle issues that were even hard to identify for me.
And Maria offered me on February of 2014 to co-facilitate with her a project of Imagine Center of Conflict Transformation, where Maria works, a dialogue of a big number. Yeah, there were 36.
Yes.
36 young people from Armenia and Azerbaijan, and to transform their conflict with the special methodology that Imagine Center has developed.
The methodology is not to avoid conflict. You know, there are many initiatives around the world that work in conflict contexts, but they do not work on the issues of conflict. It is a format of looking at the human dimension of conflict. So the participants are asked to analyze various social groups in their societies from the point of view of their fears, hopes, needs, and concerns, and to basically explain what is the current situation in their societies. And here is another conflict transformative element, is that they discover that a lot of the needs, fears, concerns, and hopes are cross-cutting. That means that a social group in Armenia shares the same fears and the same needs and the same hopes and concerns with a similar social group in Azerbaijan. So the divide, the conflict divide, is very much artificial.
Sometimes we do ask them if we understand that they feel like sharing their personal stories. We do have a session, if really very needed, to go to a deeper, sometimes very sad, sometimes very touchy, personal story of how the conflict, how they lived it, how they experienced it, in order to go deeper to the human aspect. Because people discussing history can be very superficial and not thinking about the personal aspect.
Similar methodologies of discussion and understanding of the other that are employed by Rondonet are also used by other projects that work with the Rondonet Association, or ones that have been set up by graduates. But could the exact setup of Rondonet, one that takes in students from conflict and post-conflict countries, actually be implemented and replicated elsewhere?
Conflict is very complex, and often a key driver of conflict is a lack of understanding of the other. And we can see that in some societies in which physically there are walls and barriers between communities, and therefore myths and misunderstandings develop about the other community, that they're necessarily untrustworthy and not to be given the rights and opportunities that you have. It is people who constitute communities, towns, cities. And of course, people are social, people are relational, and therefore peace building, to be effective, needs to concentrate on the relationships that people have within their own communities, but also between communities.
For this, for us, we cannot talk to the other side without this place. So this is why it's important. I don't know, like, at, you know, like, at sometimes I thought, like, oh, this is, like, really hard. This is, like, really difficult. And some people really, like, couldn't do it. Like, some people just finished their program in the middle of the house. Half of the year. Yeah, and they couldn't finish it because it's really hard. Like, you need to put all your emotions, all your everything, all yourself in this place, because you basically, it becomes your home, you know, where you live, where you share everything with everyone. So it's really difficult, but this is part of it, I mean.
And you share bedrooms as well, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, and also it's also nice because, and difficult at the same time, I would say. Yeah, and my roommate, at the beginning, she didn't speak, like, English. And so we were just, like, with the signs. We were talking with the signs because there was no other way. And then, yeah, we learned Italian. We started to everyone to speak in Italian because there are so many people, like, that don't speak English. So we don't have a common language.
And do you think that maybe the example that Rondinet sets, so the idea that 26 young people can come together and live for 2 years in peaceful coexistence and learn about it, a project that could be implemented elsewhere in the world?
Reproducing exactly the same? Absolutely not, because Rondinet has its own unique history, how it started, how it developed. The space and the country that is where Rondinet is situated is also contributing to its uniqueness. I mean, so in that sense, it is unique. It cannot be reproduced. But I suppose that other realities, such as Rondinet, could be created in their own unique context, and they will obviously have their own characteristics and history.
I think Rondinet is unique. Like, the stories are remaining. Like, the generations are changing, but the stories that are happening here in Rondinet remain and go from the generation to generation, giving a real example. And I basically think that Rondinet is a living example of the place where diversities can coexist together. And even geographically, it is so peaceful place, the nature that surrounds it. I find it especially unique. No, I think it wouldn't be the same if somebody would like to duplicate it.
The example of Rondinet revealed to me that peace is sometimes a much simpler personal journey than what we imagine. The notion of getting to know your enemy takes a long time. And maybe it's only when you come into contact with the other that you can hope to build peace amongst people, but also within yourself. Maybe what Rondinet is doing is recognizing that peace needs to be made simpler.
In our everyday interactions, we need to learn to exercise the principles of non-violence, and violence not only physical, but also, you know, verbal, emotional. We need to learn to object to injustice whenever we see it, and to make sure we do not keep silent. We need to give our support to the people that are actively engaged in peace building processes. Sometimes, you know, in times of escalation in our conflict context, the peace building community very much feels itself isolated and silenced because the voices of the militaristic constituencies are much louder. And I suppose, you know, even spreading the word about such initiatives is already a small contribution.
Peace is such a big idea, and sometimes the idea of peace building is an overwhelming concept. Rondinet shows us that each person has an individual role to play. It shows us that communication is key if we hope to build peace. It's an example that explains that conflicts arise often from a lack of communication. And if this is where conflicts arise from, then this is also where conflicts must begin to be solved. Communication must begin between people who don't come into contact with each other if we hope to solve the conflicts between them. It must be communication that is regardless of background, regardless of race, and regardless of which side of the border you exist on.
Acceptance of somebody, it doesn't matter if it is a person from another country, it doesn't matter if your society used to call him or her an enemy. Even accepting the one who it doesn't think, look, act like you is the promotion of peace. And I think it is something that with a little effort, everybody can do.
Cittadella della Pace was produced by Jordan Wilden and presented by me, Amy Weisenfeld.